is Real Women, Celebrating Women in Independent Film. I'm speaking with Ronnie Lloyd Nanos. Do I say your name right?
You did say my name right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, awesome. And Ronnie has a movie that's getting ready to come out called Ring of Desire. It's his first directorial debut.
It is.
And I'm super excited for you. That sounds like so much fun. I've seen all your postings. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm excited. We did finally finish the film in post. We are waiting to screen it and can't wait to get it out there for everybody to see.
How did you get the story? Was it a story that you thought of, or was it something that a script that somebody gave you that you just fell in love with the story? I mean, how did that come about?
Well, God, it's quite an interesting story, especially here on Real Women. I did not actually pick the script. This script was given to me by a producer. And when it was first given to me, I was like, oh my goodness, this is this. I had questions if I was going to be able to direct the script or not, to be honest.
But you've directed stage before, right?
Oh,
so
yes,
you have directing experience.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. I've staged many, many times. I've directed on stage, but film was a whole other beast. This being my first film to direct, which was given to me because I'd worked on a couple of other films as on crew as a first AD and whatnot. And you know, very often you step in the shoes and direct scenes when you're available. So this script was handed to me. It was written by Rolf Kaneski and J.R. Pars. Well, Rolf has done several films in the Las Vegas area, including Bus Party to Hell, Last Days of School. You know, it's kind of an odd story because I had just resigned to being a bar owner in Texas and producing little local community shows. And you know, I was like, as long as I'm creating art, I was happy. And then a big life change for me was that my father passed away in 2014. And it was just at that moment that I was figured, you know what, I've had a career before, and I just decided to dive right in. And I was already going to Las Vegas, you know, just to go to Las Vegas often. And I just started, I auditioned for Rock of Ages in Las Vegas. And I actually got a call back.
Wow. I love that show, by the way.
I was excited. I felt like I was so out of the loop. I was already in my 40s already at this time. And I got a call back, and I didn't get cast, of course, but, you know, or else I would have been doing it. But and then I ended up picking up the choreography gig for doing Evil Dead, the musical, out there. And I auditioned for a few plays out there through the Onyx Theater, and I got the lead in Sordid Lives. And
oh,
it was
okay.
From there, yes, and it's just kind of everything just kind of snowballed together. Burlesque came into it as I, you know, in my venue at my bar in Texas. I was like, well, I saw burlesque performers. I kind of wanted a little cabaret stuff. And I just, you know, started producing little shows. And one of my performers was like, have you ever considered performing in burlesque? Do you have a performance background?
I'm like, right.
A little bit of a background in performance. And it's so strange as you get a little older, you know, I was getting that apprehension of, can I still do this? And I've been very lucky. I feel very blessed and lucky to have the opportunities that I've had in the past 6 years.
Yeah.
And
So I had a question.
All,
so being a dancer and everything, I think what people don't understand, and I think people talk about this a lot, is that as we get older, we don't think of ourselves, I mean, our mental state's the same. So as long as we can still do it, you're enjoying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, but at that time, you know, I went through those same, you know, life changes that I didn't know I still had it in me. I really didn't until I really made up my mind to, you know, when my father passed, that I was going to do the things that made me happy. And I owned my business at the time, and I was lucky that everything had come too well. My business was paid off, my home and everything was, you know, it was just that time. I did the responsible adult things, and from that I didn't know if I still had that kind of hunger until I went to that first audition. And I knew
so
it was time to get back.
It sounds like the script was almost made for you, and that's probably why the producer approached you.
Well, it's crazy because it was a highly sexualized script. I actually got to meet with the writer twice, and he actually allowed me to edit it. So
That
it
was nice.
being there was a lot of nudity, a lot of sex, and the film now, and originally when this script was written for the Emmanuel series on Cinemax,
Oh,
which is
wow.
crazy. So it was highly overtly sexual, to be honest. And I'm not
Right.
afraid of sexuality in films at all. But again, I think a lot of directors and people had turned down the script because it did come off a little gratuitous in reading it at first. And
And
you know,
so
when I
tell
was
the audience what your background is. Like, I know you're
getting
a big time burlesque performer, and how
I'm a
long have you been
burlesque
doing that?
performer. Well, I'm a burlesque performer. My primary focus for many years, I did grow up doing a lot of theater. I was a ballet dancer, and when I was in my 20s in New York City, I danced with three professional companies. And then when I went into my 30s, I started to work in musical theater. That's what would pay. I was doing a lot of musical theater. I did a few national tours, and I never did cruise ship work because I'm deathly afraid of being out in the middle of the ocean in
Oh,
water.
that's funny.
But and then also I studied acting also at Stella Adler in New York City, and so it was just one of those things that came along. And you know, film was the next progression. I was actually in Las Vegas. I was hired to choreograph a show, and for the first time, I hadn't worked professionally in any, you know, I, it was when I had my career in my 20s and 30s. Almost no nudity in the entire film. And I'm a burlesque performer, so it's all about the tease. And I actually gave it added a little more with theatrical elements, and got to write in a subplot and second story, because originally the script, I was like, well, there's all these people that get together and this magic ring makes them have this crazy sex. What's the problem? So you know, with a theater background, you want an arc. You want these characters to have a background and arc and consequences. So it is kind of now, it's more of a romantic thriller. There is actually along the lines of like Ghost, and that there are dire consequences that people could lose their lives if they succumb to the evil power of this ring now. And it was keeping the script
Right.
as is and just kind of editing it
Tweaking it.
and making it, tweaking it. And kind of, I wanted there to be an artistic side to it. Again, being that kind of performer going from ballet to burlesque and using physical bodies, that the audience is going to think they're seeing a whole lot more than they actually are. I mean, I still wanted it to be sexy, but how do I want to represent myself out there? And also, I wanted it to be very respectful. It's very female empowering now, where before it was like, instead of just women with gratuitous nudity, now I think it's very female empowering. Nobody makes women do anything in this film. It's women controlled. And when I sent out the casting notice originally, it's actually been about a year we had auditions in Las Vegas. I wanted to make sure as a director that I represented myself, that I wanted women of different shapes and different sizes and different colors as well. It's just, I wanted that kind of open representation. And I did make sure I wanted it open to the burlesque community, because I knew we could play with those ideas of nudity without ever actually showing. They are tease artists.
The famous thing I really find interesting about this is that I had a conversation with somebody. I had to edit it out, seeing that you say all these things, because as somebody who watches a lot of television myself, is a lot of times the gratuitous nudity turns me off. And it doesn't matter if it's man, girl, girl, man and woman. It doesn't matter to me. It's just that
Exactly.
I don't need to really watch people have sex. If I want to do that, I'll watch a porn. I'd
Right.
rather have them tease me a little bit, me get that feeling, and then
Right.
kind of go, oh, and leave it to my imagination.
Exactly. Well, my thing with it too is that, you know, especially since these things happen under this magic influence of the ring, I wanted them to appear very supernatural. And I actually got to add characters that, so that's where I utilized the burlesque performers. And, which was great. Again, it's that same aspect. I'm not afraid of nudity in a film. If it's necessary to the plot. And again, my biggest thing is I wanted to make sure I told a good story. And I if it yeah if nudity is necessary for the progression of the plot, then I'm okay with that. But if it's just, you know, I'm going to show some naked people to be naked. And again, I nothing against filmmakers that do that, not at all. I think there are filmmakers that do it beautifully and do it well, and and there are films that are specifically, you go to see this, oh my gosh, you're going to see this, and if you're expecting that, that's great, and that's not what I thought I would be good at. as a director, I wanted to make sure, well, this is my first film. I wanted to make sure that I was creating something that I think that I would be good at doing. And that was my conversation with the producer and even with the writer going, you're given a script and this is your first opportunity. And you're like, well, I'll do this, of course, because I don't know if I'm ever going to get this opportunity again. But at the same time, I wanted to make sure that I was giving my best self as a director. I wanted to make some kind of artistic statements to have my voice in there, and make sure that
See, I love that.
I was telling a story that reflects artistically as a director what I was trying to tell. Again, it's turned into a story that it's an allegory to addiction. And so many things that we actually had an original song written a bit about for the film called My Addiction. We did that, and I was very hands-on. I even worked with the composer and the editors, even in Dream Post. And I don't know, directors always get to do that, but I just wanted to make sure that the product was what I wanted it to be. And I'm hoping
Yeah.
everyone enjoys it.
Oh, I'm sure they will. And the thing is, I saw that audition posting. I was like, yeah, I don't, that's not something that I was, because I thought, man, they're gonna, everybody's being nude everywhere. And I don't have anything, I have no problem with other people doing it, but I think it just depends on, I think
Right.
it depends on how it's written and how it's done. And I think
Exactly.
too, I'm sure your actors probably all went, oh, thank God.
Well, I did have actors again when I didn't send the script until we cast the actors. I didn't, release the script until I had finished the final edit. Again, it was crazy when I first had the first script. I had some crew that and people that were interested in working, and they read the script. Like, I don't know if I want to be involved with this. I don't think I was like, please give me a chance. This is not what it's going, what it reads as right now is not what it's going to be. And
Well,
again, it.
you know how this is done, right? So the writer writes the script, and then it becomes a different movie when the director directs the script.
Right.
And then this is the formula. And then the person who gets the final say in the story is the editor. So a story
Exactly.
always gets told three times.
Exactly. Well, I kind of went over every one of those steps as the writer wrote it. And I guess it'd been passed around and optioned a few times in Las Vegas and then passed on. When we got it, I met with the writer, and usually when the producers and people write, pick up the script from the writer, they own it. They get to kind of do with it whatever they want. They've already paid for those rights to do it. I didn't want to do it that
Right.
way. I wanted to make sure that I consulted with the writer. And because I'm like, well, I've been given this thing and this is how I want to do it. And I want to make sure it's done this way and artistically. And I gave the writer kind of my ideas and my and what I wanted to do and to get some tips from him. How would I film this? This is how I see this. So I met with Rolf actually in Los Angeles, ooh, two or three times. I went out there and visit a few friends of mine and do some classwork and go to Disneyland and do all those fun things you do. And but I met with him three times, and it was the best feeling that when I sent him the final edit that he really liked it. And that's the best thing when the writer's like, I really like what you did with the script. It fits what you said you wanted to do with it. That he got my message, he got what I wanted to do with it when I was like, this is how I see it. And this is how I want to layer it. And then after we filmed it, and again, even with my DP and everybody on crew, I was very, this is how I see this when we're filming this. The camera should tell the story this way as well. And with the actors too, I wanted to be em to emphasize for the actors that giving them this kind of character arc that we were very strong and very adamant about performance, that it wasn't just some, just random characters that show up, the typical. I wanted to make sure the actors, we were very, we met, read through, I would give notes. And even when I auditioned the film, I auditioned the film and every actor got 15 minutes with me as a director. They came in if they did the live auditions, and how I cast it was to see if they would do we would do a slate them and film how they thought they should be done. Then I would give them notes, and it was to see how quick they could take my notes and how quick I could direct them. They could pick up the message I was giving, and it I was really surprised at how many strong actors we do have in the area in Vegas. A lot of unknowns, a lot of people that they knew how to take direction. They got it. And
Right.
when I got to finally take it to the editor, and I made sure I asked the producer, I'm like, can I be very hands-on with the editor? Can I be very specific? And I had a great script supervisor and second AD. We documented every shot. Everything was so, and I still have copies of all that that we downloaded to make sure that
You're gonna have to teach me that, but go ahead.
we knew every shot, which ones were going to work and which were the best takes and which scenes. And editing makes that difference. You find that that's where I found the best part of editing was you find the best ways to highlight these actors to tell your story, the best ways to make them look good. And that, to
Well,
me, that
plus
was my
when
job
you
as a,
edit,
that
yeah,
was
and
my
I think
job.
too, when you edit, what people don't understand is that sometimes there's such magic in. You might have a clip of like 4 minutes, and then there's only that 30 seconds
Oh
that's
yeah.
magical. So you have to go through every single clip
Oh yeah.
because you don't know what you're gonna miss, and you don't want to miss it because
Oh yeah.
it might just be exactly what you want. And then there might be like the actor had a 30-second moment,
Oh,
but then the rest of
absolutely.
the performance kind of sucked. Not
Absolutely.
that it sucked, but
Well,
you know what I mean.
no, I know exactly what you mean. And
And
again,
then you take that 30 seconds, and so it really, and that's with every actor. I don't care how great they are. Every actor has those moments
Oh,
of
absolutely.
the moment. So I think, and that so that's the editor's responsibility to make sure that everybody looks beautiful.
Absolutely. And then again, that was the thing. They look beautiful. And again, I was really, I consider myself so lucky with the cast and crew and people that I got in this film. Especially we finished filming this in February 2020, right before the world went into craziness. I felt so lucky we got
I
to finish all
know.
our principal photography then. But also, seeing that that work paid off, and seeing the actors' performances in this film, I really am so pleased with with the work that they did. It's those things as a director, if I did anything right in this film, I hope that people see that the performances I feel are solid, strong performances. And that really, especially what this film originally started as, I don't think anybody expected to go watching this film to see strong acting. And I hope that I can change their mind with this. That if I get to be known as a director, I really honestly would like to be known as an actor's director, to be honest. Again, that we really meticulously thought
Right,
out
I think
every
too, if
aspect of
you love their performances, I think too, because even though you're the director and you're in it, I think you're still kind of an outsider. So if you're in the editing room and you go, because you have to play those scenes over and over and
Oh,
over again,
yes.
you can actually, I think it's a tribute to your directorial experience in the past too, because you found a way to make those people feel comfortable. And I think as a director myself, is your job is to make every feel like they're part of the team and that everybody's rooting for them. Because if they feel that way, they relax. And once they relax, it's on.
Right, and I hope I did, is because one thing with the actors too, when we had, once they were cast and they got the script, I left make sure that I was open to phone calls and questions. I love being able to banter and talk with actors about the development of their characters, and I had so many in this film question and message and ask and what about this? I'm like, well, no, I don't agree with that, and we would banter about it and we would compromise and go, or at times, but I knew what I wanted from it. And that was the big thing, is I made sure I did have a specific vision. And I was so lucky that the producers, I do thank Nilish and his wife, Chaitelli, for giving me the opportunity as a director to have that artistic say so, and that they believed and supported it. But also down to, I mean, I picked the composer, and the composer, Ricardo Gerhardt, he did Unwritten out there in Las Vegas, which I think is a beautiful score. But with this one too, I knew musically what I wanted this film to sound like as well. I'm an 80s kid. It has a very synth pop, British synth pop, think Depeche Mode or some of those things from that time. And
Oh,
it is
love
that,
them.
and he captured it. He knew exactly what I wanted musically with this. I love the soundtrack to this. I love the music he created. We created an original song, and I was very hands-on, but I was very specific to the, you know, the artist, even in post, post is so important with our editor, with our composer, with every aspect. Even when we pulled in the we have very minimal visual effects. There are some visual effects in Ring of Desire because it's a magic ring, but I also wanted to make sure that the film was done mostly with practical effects. Again, that's saving cost. You wanted to make sure you're making a film for a decent budget, but where it doesn't look cheap. But I also we were playing with different visual effects, and you know, with our editor, and you know, we brought in Joe Lujan, who's known for his great visual effects out there, and he knew exactly what I wanted. It wasn't, it didn't, you know, the visual effects in the film aren't so garish and like they, you know, where you're watching, oh my gosh, that's all visual effects. They fit it exactly the right amount, that it's
Right.
subtle when it needs
So
to be.
I was going to go back to the fact that you let your actors call you, and because I think that when you have an open conversation, and the fact that they called shows how much they care.
Right.
Because
Oh, well, that's
as a director, you want them to care, because if they care about it, then and they feel like they're part of it, they during all the way up to till the release and beyond, because those people will always be your champions as far as and I think in this day and age we have a very big opportunity with the whole social media thing, because it wasn't, you know, when you did a movie before, you know, you make a poster and you know, you might call your friends or text your friends, but with the whole social media thing, I think it's really changed our industry a lot.
Oh yes. What was great about Ring of Desire, especially, I wanted to make sure that the communication was open to the actors. It being such a female-driven script, and that there was some partial nudity on set that we had to work around, again, without showing on the film, but how do you do that? Women had to feel comfortable on set. I had to make sure also that we did have female crew members, that that there was any time there was a scene, okay, that there might be, okay, right here she's going to disrobe. Everyone had to be comfortable. The actors had to be comfortable. And that was always my priority, again, with them, to make sure that if you create a safe space and they know that you care genuinely about that space and making sure that it's not just wordplay, that you are actually an advocate for that, especially for women, again, especially for women, you know, as a male director, that, you know, that they know that that is important. That I think really made a difference. I had one of our actresses in the film. So in this film, I know you said there might be partial nudity. You know, I'm like, you're gonna get down to the equivalent of you were wearing a bathing suit. It's like your bra, if anything, something really pretty. Like, but it won't be this. And she's like, okay, I'm comfortable with that. I trust you. And when you hear those words, and someone tells you as a director in any position of authority or leadership, that when they put that faith in you, that they say they trust you and they believe in you, then you better come through. And that was really what was the most important. Even recently, we've done some promotional photo shoots afterward, and I wanted to make sure I was hands-on on in a Zoom conference meeting with them, directing the scenes, directing the shots. And every time, hey girls, how do you feel about this? Okay. And especially these days now that they were even feeling safe while we were doing these photos with COVID and whatnot, that I was always to make sure. Even we did ADR, and I would set it up from here in Texas, and to make sure that they felt safe doing ADR. And that's always been my biggest priority.
If you feel scared or worried, you need to tell me, because that's my job to take care of you.
Absolutely. And it does make a difference. Again, I've been lucky that, you know, as a business owner here in Texas, and you know, as a bar owner, it's one of those businesses that was severely affected by this pandemic and whatnot. But to be able to reopen, I wanted to make sure that I created the safest space possible for my employees, for my clientele. I also live with somebody that is high risk, who is over 65 and has COPD. So I have to make sure, just not only for myself, but that I live with somebody that this could direly affect. So the same care that I put in that, I want to make sure that I'm doing for people that are working for you. Again, to me, that is the best kind of leadership, I hope. And we always all can improve. You know, we every day we improve and learn to do more. But at the same time, I just wanted to make sure, especially with this film, with the type of film that I wanted it to be, that it wasn't just wordplay, that everybody knew that this is, I strongly believed in that, and that I was going to be there to make sure that, again, I'm excited. We had finished the film, and we originally had planned to premiere it and screen it in Las Vegas in early December. It was ready to go, but the producers and I, we spoke and we put it on pause. We have a finished film, but we're waiting until, because for a lot of our cast, we wanted to make sure we can do a kind of premiere that they could all attend.
But I wanted to know what's next for you? I mean, I know you're in Mom Squad, which I really appreciate you doing this for me.
I'm excited about Mom Squad.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cute. I'm hoping that we can make it a full feature, but I'm still trying to get the producers trying to figure out what we want to do with it. So you're playing Randall the Watch,
Yes,
which is
ma'am.
fun.
Very fun.
So that's cool. And
I'm
then what
also.
else is in the what? Go
What's in
ahead.
the cards? What's coming next in 2021? Right now,
Yes.
we've been auditioning a film that we're planning on filming this summer in Las Vegas, called Code and Creation. It's been optioned. Right now, the director is Glenn Student, and I'll be the first assistant director, the first AD on that film. And I'm also one of the casting directors. So this week and the past
Oh,
couple of
fun.
weeks, I've actually been looking at close to 100 plus auditions already. And
And how many auditions came in?
right now, I think we're almost at 200.
Oh, wow. And so how many characters are in this movie?
Oh, goodness. Major characters, there are eight. With
Okay.
minor characters and whatnot, about 20.
Oh, okay. That's
So
not too
it's
bad.
not bad. And we've been working on that and watching auditions. That is time consuming, especially we want to make sure that we're giving every actor their notes on there, and we deciding between ourselves who we want to call back, and then we'll send those notices around the first of the year. And some great auditions coming from Los Angeles and from Las Vegas.
Now, did you post that on Actors Access?
Yes, ma'am, on Actors Access and Backstage.
Oh, awesome.
So those are on
Okay,
there.
so here's the big question. Because this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film. In your past, it doesn't have to be anybody famous, but who is it in independent film or any kind of filmmaking that inspires you to continue forward? Because I know you work with women and you respect women. So I want to
Absolutely.
know, what is there like that iconic person for you?
Oh gosh, it's crazy when you think about different iconic women. I'm from that regular popular television growing up in the 70s and 80s, and who some of my favorite women directors who started off as actors and come from. I like Penny Marshall a lot, and
Oh, Lisa
Penny
Tonet.
Marshall was incredible, and I think she opened a lot of doors for a lot of women. I remember, and of course I was a fan of Penny Marshall as a kid. I would watch Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, and I was that kid. It's funny, I recently just watched the whole Happy Days marathon on my at home. I was like, I missed this show, but
Yeah, I love that show
it's
too.
been such a
And the
fun
thing
I
about
love
her is that
the
she was not an actor, you know, when she came to California, it was her dad. Was her
Well,
brother. It was her brother.
her brother
It,
Gary,
yeah, and
and
he's the one that pulled her in because he just thought she was hilarious.
I'm just reading so many things about Gary and Penny Marshall that they actually did care about their crews and their actors. When I like something, I go and kind of stalk and look, oh, what did people say about them? And she had a great following of people. She was just a lot of they loved Penny Marshall. And I think it opened a
Yeah.
lot of things. I'm that kid that Star Wars was a big thing when I was a kid. And how exciting is it to me that right now that the next Star Wars motion picture is going to be directed by a woman? The very first
That is
Star
really
Wars
exciting.
film.
Well, hey, we got a woman vice president now, which is
That
great.
is awesome. And I'm so excited about this whole, that the next Star Wars will be directed by a woman. Ron Howard's daughter, actually, Bryce Howard, she actually directed some of two episodes of The Mandalorian. So I'm that Star Wars geek and pop culture geek. So it's really great to see that women really made a difference in pop culture for me. So I picked Penny Marshall because of that, because she's a pop culture icon to me. I mean,
She
Laverne
really
and Boo
is.
Boo Kitty and the Big L and all those things and Milk and Pepsi. And then she became this director in movies like, A League of Their Own. And yeah, Penny was great. And then,
I think too, she was always super smart.
yes.
And I think her whole family was super smart. But I think the
And they
fact
seemed
that,
accessible too. They were just people.
yeah. And so, yeah, I find that so. This is all exciting. Yes, I love Penny Marshall. There are a lot of great women directors for sure. Well, it's been super fun talking to you, Ronnie. I love this.
Oh, likewise.
I can't wait to talk to you again on when you have your next project. And I will be doing a Real Women Just for Mom Squad.
Awesome.
So you're definitely going to be on that because you're part of the main cast.
Well,
so
I'm excited about that role. Well, thank you for having me.
And so This is Brenda Daly and Ronnie Lloyd Nanos, and this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film. And if you would like to be on this show, please contact me, Brenda Daly, on Facebook. You can just message me. And Ronnie, how do they get a hold of you?
How do they get a hold of me? Well, they can. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those easy. You can contact me at lennoxvamp@gmail.com or just message me, find Facebook friend me, IMDb friend me, do all those things. But Facebook friend me, it's my name, and send me a message.
Yeah, and don't forget to go see Ring of Desire when it comes out.
Yes,
I can't wait to
please,
see it.
Please, 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 please.
So this is Brenda Daly, and this is Real Women, and we are signing out.